Good morning. It's time to get up with Kyrie's Crunch Time. We're 48 hours away from the most significant choice of the NBA offseason. Will Kyrie opt out and what that could mean for KD's future in Brooklyn? Plus, is Greg really done playing with Tampa Tom? We're going to ask the man with his finger on the pulse of all things Brady. And the very latest on Deebo Samuel. He still wants out, but is it getting too late to make a major move? Well, welcome in to Get Up here on a magnificent Monday. I'm Ryan Smith in for Green. He got a packed show for you today. And look who's in the house, Tim Bontemps, Seth Greenberg, here to talk about a huge week in NBA free agency. Jeff Darlington, Mike T, also here for all the big news from the NFL. But we start in the NHL game of the night, Stanley Cup Final, Game 6. And the cup is in the building. There it is in all its glory. Lightning, Avalanche, getting ready to go at it. Ready for game time. Early second period, Avs trailing 1-0. Avs with the possession on a delayed penalty call. Bowen Byram finds Nathan MacKinnon. One-timer for the goal, sneaks it right in there. His 13th of the postseason, and the Avs tie it up at 1. Under 8 minutes left in the second, MacKinnon's pass redirected to Artturi Lehkonen, who's going to put it right in for the score. Good one. Wow, and at the end of the play, watch this. Pat Maroon frustrated, shoves Josh Manson, breaks his stick. No penalty called on that play. How about that for getting away with one? Avs lead a 2-1 going in the third. And then watch this at the final moments.
It's over. They did it. They did it. The job is done. The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions.
Connor McGahee with the call for Altitude Sports Radio. The Avs, Stanley Cup champions. Cale Makar, your Conn Smythe Trophy winner as playoff MVP. The dream has come true. Their third Stanley Cup, their first since 2001. And here's Cale Makar, your playoff MVP on making the dream come true.
You grow up, you see that thing as a kid, and you have pictures of it on your wall, and I mean, all I think about is everybody that got me here, and I mean, my family's in the stands, so it's amazing wherever they are, but it's surreal.
It's hard to describe. I didn't really know what it'd be like to actually win it, but just seeing all these Warriors battle just feels unbelievable, so words can't describe how I feel right now.
It's amazing. Just 5 seasons ago, the Avs had the worst record in the NHL. Now there's 72 wins between the regular season and playoffs are tied for the most by any team ever in a single season. Their 10 comeback wins this postseason also tied for the most in a single playoff year in NHL history. And now they're Stanley Cup champions. Well, turning to the NBA, we are just T-minus 2 days and counting until decision day for Kyrie Irving. He has a $36.5 million player option for next season, a Wednesday deadline on whether to exercise it or decline it and become a free agent. His running mate, KD, under contract with the Nets through 2026. But this is the situation everybody's been talking about in the NBA. We bring our basketball guys back in. And Tim, I begin with you. What's the very latest on this seemingly never-ending situation between Kyrie and the Nets?
Well, the fact that there's drama surrounding Kyrie Irving really can't come as a shock to anybody, because this has been the case for him for his entire career, right? At this point, it seems like there's one thing after another every day. And I think, for me, the way I look at this is, until there's some ink on the paper and we know where he's going to be, I think this is just going to be an evolving moment-by-moment, day-by-day situation. Because as we've seen with the Nets, even going back to the beginning of this season, this past season, Kyrie wasn't going to play. Then he was able to play in road games. Then he was able to play in all the games, right? Like, it just was sort of, this past season was sort of a microcosm of what his time in Brooklyn has been. And I think, again, as we go through this day by day, things are going to change and evolve all the time. But knowing where this is going to go right now, I think, is a fool's errand.
Yeah, and Seth, the assumption here is that he's looking for max money over a series of years, 4 or 5 years, whatever
happening.
It is. Yeah, should they do it? You say no.
A max deal? No, because you got to have a guy that you can count on. You can give a guy a max deal. You got to be able to count on him. You got to have an availability. You got to have a guy that you understand who he is, how he wins, and when he's going to be available. And look, the one thing Kyrie Irving has proved, he's proved two things. One, when he plays, he can impact the game offensively in a way that very few guys can impact the game. Number two is, you don't know when he's going to show up. And when you're trying to build a championship culture, if you're trying to build a championship culture, you've got to have guys you can count on. For Kyrie to be successful, they're going to need someone that has to have the ability and the strength to hold him accountable.
And that's the key right there. I want us to put that graphic back up in terms of games played versus games missed. 117 played, 130 missed in his Nets career. So, Zach, he's looking for that max deal. In your mind, should he get it?
Well, let's be clear about two things. Number one, he made All-NBA two seasons ago as the most available of the big three. In fairness to him, let's say that. And let's also say the reason he didn't play most of last season is now gone, the vaccine mandate. So things are set up for him to play 60, 65 games like a normal NBA star, some injuries here and there. But the max deal, everything I've heard, the max deal is not coming. The Nets are not going to be held hostage by the threat of Kyrie Irving and then Kevin Durant following him out the door. They appear ready to actually take some kind of stand here. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be a fair compromise offer somewhere, wherever that lands. And we'll see how that discussion evolves after Wednesday when, as you said, Kyrie can either opt in to that player option or opt out and become a free agent. And it's not just becoming a free agent and that puts the Lakers and the whole league in play. Opting out sounds like a vehicle toward a sign-and-trade, but as Tim can tell you, that's really complicated because of cap issues. It's hard to sign-and-trade Kyrie Irving to some of these teams that are on his list because of their own cap situations and because of Brooklyn's. So this Wednesday deadline is going to be really interesting to see what he does and if he opts in, if he only does so on the condition that the Nets trade him somewhere where he wants to go. But as of right now, I sense kind of stasis after the weekend where everyone kind of went their separate ways a bit. And I do think this is a precarious situation for the Nets. I don't think this is the kind of thing where it's actually kind of calm and the media is blowing this out of proportion. I do think there are scenarios where in a week he's gone and the Durant situation is wobbly.
Well, and I think to Zach's point, if you're looking at this from the Kyrie Irving side of things, right? 2 years ago, he played in 75% of the games, played 54 or 72 games, was an All-NBA player. Last year, when he did play, he was very good when he played. Now, obviously, he didn't play for certain reasons. We'll get into that. But he was healthy, right? And if he's healthy again next year, I think he would say, I'm probably going to play somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 65 games. And if you're Kyrie Irving and you're playing at that number of games, playing 75-80% of the season, he is an All-NBA caliber player. So that's why I think from his side of things, he's going to say, I should get a max contract. And that's where the rub is. The Nets say, as you pointed out in that graphic earlier, he's played in less than half the games. Why do we want to give him a full max deal? The Nets are saying, we need to have some stipulations that you're going to be on the court. And Kyrie's saying, I'm a max player. And there's the rub right there.
But when he was in Boston, he played a bunch of games, right? And his behavior was not condoning, assisting and helping that create a winning culture and a winning environment. Look, the guy's talent is ridiculous. And you can win a championship with him. Mm-hmm. All those things are great. But I think he's still got to be in an environment where there's a respect factor and accountability. And I'm not sure there will ever be a respect factor and accountability unless KD holds him accountable. Because he's got to be held. He was accountable to LeBron James. Whether he liked it or not, he was accountable to that championship run in Cleveland, and he made big plays. Where else has he been held accountable to?
KD that kind of guy, though?
I'm not even sure he was held accountable like that with the Cavs. Like, Kyrie's always been his own guy. He's always sort of done his own
thing. That's part of what you get with Kyrie, no matter where you
are. This is exactly what you sign up for when you have Kyrie Irving. Like, you sign up for drama. You sign up for all of this. Like, when the Nets signed him 3 years ago from the Celtics, they knew what they were getting. Right? It wasn't like this is a big surprise that there's been drama around the Brooklyn Nets. Like, this is what everybody knew was coming, but it was the price of doing business to have Kevin Durant on your team. That was why they put themselves in this position. Not that it's like, oh, man, I can't believe there's drama with the Nets because Kyrie's here. Like, this is what you sign up for.
I think this is a fascinating point. And, Zach, I want to bring you in on this because I think so much of the narrative about Kyrie is we're asking him to maybe change. Don't forget, a couple years ago, he was out because of different issues surrounding Black Lives Matter and the current situation in the country at the time. And then there was obviously the situation last year. But I think in this narrative, Zach, of everybody saying, well, is he going to change? Is he going to be this guy that we depend on in this way? What you're mentioning is this is the guy he is. So if this is the guy he is, why not pay him the max money and say, we're going to roll with who you are, Kyrie?
Well, because the Nets have had enough of it, I guess. And even if the situation is different, and I don't know sort of how he's been when he's been available and there, he certainly played very well. And if they had faith that that would be the case for all these years afterwards with the vaccine mandate out the door, I think they would give him the max. But for whatever reason, they don't have faith in that. And you mentioned the hiatuses that he's taken. I mean, those are real things, and they break at the fabric of a team in real ways. They also haven't been that long. I think people talk about him like he was gone for 2 months or 3 months. They weren't that long. You can live with those if you know they're coming, if there's communication, if there's clarity. And I think that's where they've been lacking. But look, we're sort of missing the forest for the trees a little bit in this discussion about who Kyrie is and what he stands for. This is about Kevin Durant more than anything else. This is about a top 10, 12, 15, wherever you rank him, all-time player with 4 years left on his contract, coming off a season where he was maybe the MVP 30 or 40 games into the season, maybe the best player in the league until Giannis took that mantle. That's the story here. Kyrie was the way for the Nets to get Durant, and now Kyrie's sort of situation is the lever that could pry Durant out of there potentially. That's the big story. That's the story that the other 29 teams are really watching more than anything else.
You're absolutely right.
But, like, if you're the Nets organization, what you're doing right now is you're sitting down, you're treating Kevin Durant like basically Aaron Rodgers wanted to be treated. You're sitting down with Kevin Durant and saying, all right, KD, look, we're going to try to make this thing work with Kyrie. If not, we'll try to find him a potential landing space. But who do you want to play with? Oh, by the way, we already have Ben Simmons. Like, first and foremost, leadership challenge for KD, get Ben Simmons on board. Ben Simmons, when the Sixers had him, they were second in defense efficiency in the NBA. Without him, they were 12. He's an impact player. We act like he's not even on the roster. Now, he wasn't on the roster. He's got issues. Hopefully, he clears those issues up. But let's not forget that you have Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant. You can add another piece, whether it's Kyrie or someone else. They could be the best team in the East, maybe.
Wow. They could be. But to Zach's point, you know, as he said, clarity is not something we have with Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. So clarity is probably not something we'll have. But this all is about Kevin Durant. It's why Kyrie and Kevin are on the team. It's why this is a story now. It's not about where's Kyrie going to be. It's what does it mean for Kevin Durant?
So many layers to this. And don't worry, folks. We're going to get to the Kevin Durant of it all because I think you guys are right. That's really the biggest aspect of all of this. So much to cover in this story. Now, coming up, over to football. Is Gronk really done playing with Tampa Tom? We're going to ask the man with his finger on the pulse of all things Brady. And plus, waiting to hear what Draymond had to say about the possibility of a LeBron-Kyrie reunion in L.A. You're not going to believe it. Jam-packed day here on Get Up. Keep it right here.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Okay, let's go back to Meanwhile on Planet Earth. Hey, if this doesn't get you fired up for football, nothing will. Watch this incredible tackle right here. Booper the Mascot. Oh, laid him out. Mike T. Jeff Darlington. Mike, what do you think about this? What we got first round, second round talent here?
First rounder. I want to see a little bit more of a wrap up. I'm worried though. Are we going to have concussion protocol now?
For mascots. Jeff, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, and it feels like they should settle this like behind closed doors. Like this does not feel like your normal race. This feels like
no.
a real problem between people that
not
could require
all.
Some real, you know, mediation.
All I'm saying is I would never enter a contest with Blooper the mascot, because look at this hit. I mean, that's talent right there. I'm loving this. Okay, so speaking of, just we can watch it over and over again, but I got to get to this because that'll get you fired up for Rob Gronkowski. Announces retirement. Here's his first day off the field doing the gritty with the kids. Look at that. A video on TikTok saying this is his first day of retirement. And that's how Rob's life is basically going to be from here on out. And Mike, when you see this, I got to say, if life is this good after retiring, do you think Gronk is going to stay retired, or do you think there's any chance we see him back this season?
100% he's playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And all that happens is Tom Brady says, hey, Rob, time to get to work. And when Tom Brady says go, he's going to say how fast and how high. And they have a special, unique relationship. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I don't think there's any doubt in my mind at some point Rob Gronkowski plays football for Tampa Bay.
What? 100%. Okay. Gronk's like, okay, I guess the gritty is not going to be in his life every single day for the rest of his life. So, Jeff, what is Brady thinking about Gronk's retirement?
I think Brady's fine with it and is willing to accept it. Look, when Tom Brady signed with the Bucs, don't forget that Rob Gronkowski was in his first retirement at that point. And he was going to the Bucs hoping that Gronk would come out of retirement and join him in Tampa, but not necessarily feeling like he needed it. And you know, Gronk has been an important part of this team, an effective player for this team. But I think that Tom understands that if he's not there, they will move on and they'll keep chugging along. So, you know, a significant loss, sure, but not necessarily one that that Brady will, you know, call it quits himself over.
But you mentioned the idea of a significant loss. And Mike T, it makes me think this is a Super Bowl or bust team. So when you look at this and you look at Gronk, how much does his absence impact the Bucs' Super Bowl chances?
You know, Ryan, I don't think a lot, because I don't think they thought he'd play in 17 games anyway, because he's obviously closer to the end. And again, I think he'll come back when there's consequential games and plays to be made. But this is a team that's improved at head coach. I think Bruce Arians has been a good head coach. I've worked with Todd Bowles. I think Todd Bowles is an outstanding head coach. So I actually think they got better there. And
wow.
As Hembo reminded me, they missed 47 games last year for defensive starters. So just between Todd Bowles improving the head coach position, getting healthy on defense, and they did draft two tight ends, Ryan. So I think overall, this is a team that should be right there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a very talented team. Tom Brady came back for a reason. But, Jeff, I wonder about the actual effect that Brady has on Gronk coming back. Mike says, hey, look, he gets the call from Brady. He's back on the field. Is it really that simple? Like, Tom Brady just can put on that charm and Gronk actually might walk back on the field?
He can, but I think Tom would also, you know, only use it if he felt like it was something. I mean, these guys will talk. They're friends. I mean, if you think about any friendship, it's like, hey, do you want to do this? Can we get them, you know, then the Bucks have to get the money to where it makes sense for Gronk. But this is also a team, by the way, that has a player in Cameron Brate who maybe a lot of people aren't that familiar with, but who has been a really effective player. And Gronk, while he was effective and really an important weapon toward the end of last season when so many other guys were hurt, still isn't necessarily the same Gronk that we remember from his prime with New England. Mm. So Cam Brate is a really effective tight end. This team can soldier on. And if it comes to the point to, you know, to what we're talking about here, consequential games, as Mike T appropriately put it, where they feel like they need the guy, I feel like Tom could make that call. Will he? He'll feel it out. This will be circumstantial. And ultimately, he knows that down the street, a Florida man and Rob Gronkowski, you know, newly appointed Florida man, will make his way to Tampa if he needs to.
A Florida man. I don't always know if that's a good thing, but okay, there you have it. Mike, how do you think?
Look, me and Mike T will take it.
Absolutely.
How do you think his absence impacts the running game, Tampa's running game?
Yeah, no, that's a really fair point, because he could capture the edge, and unfortunately, being with the Jets and Dolphins for so long, that's what made Gronk an all-time great, Ryan, was he was great in third down, red zone, but he could capture the edge in the running game, which is really hard to do. And I agree with Jeff. I do like Cam Brate more in the passing game. So even though they have Leonard Fournette, this will hurt their running game, but let's face it, this is going to be a pass-first team when you have Tom Brady.
Yeah, and that's the idea. I mean, when you have Tom Brady on your squad and you've got the weapons they've got, they still have a significant chance. So at the end of the day, it'll be interesting to see if Tom Brady ends up making that call. But right now, this team looking pretty solid. All right, guys, thanks so much. Time now to run the bases, starting with the College World Series. The last team to get into the NCAA baseball tournament was the last team standing. Ole Miss scored twice on wild pitches in a 3-run eighth inning, and the Rebels won their first national baseball title, sweeping Oklahoma with a 4-2 win. Now let's go to Mets Marlins. Check out this unbelievable catch by Luis Guillorme. Yeah, right? Lays out to make that unreal diving catch, taking the base hit away from Jesus Aguilar in the ninth, but it wouldn't matter because rookie Nick Fortes also hit a solo homer and two outs in the ninth, lifting the Marlins over the Mets. And then there were the Stros and the Yanks, another walk-off. Aaron Judge, 3-run homer in the 10th to beat the Astros 6-3. His second walk-off hit against the Astros in 4 days. Spike Lee gets the bat. Judge feeling great after this one.
Where does that confidence, that quiet confidence come from this team?
Oh, when you're the best player on the team, you know, how can you not?
And nobody's objecting to that. How about that? Well, look at Judge. Good reason to be confident. Only Yankees player ever with more homers before July than his 28th this season. Babe Ruth is the only one with 30 in 1928 and 1930. Judge has 4 games left this month to pass that mark. Well, coming up, we're talking more football, and we've got the very latest on Deebo Samuel. Still wants out, but is it getting too late to make a major move? Plus, we're headed to a LeBron-Kyrie Irving reunion. We're asking that question, and if so, what exactly would that mean for the Western Conference? Talking about that and a lot more right here on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Welcome back, and meanwhile on planet Earth, they had more fun in the stands of the Yankees game. This whole section, very invested in this little girl flipping the bottle, and then watch. When she scores, and when she nails it.
Oh! That's awesome.
Right?
There you go.
And look, as soon as she did it, she was like, yeah, I did it!
Have you ever done that? The water
no, not like that. Look at it. Look at the talent.
Hey. This reminds me of when LeBron and the, I think the Cavs are doing this at a Knicks game.
Yeah.
Everyone went crazy on the bench. That's what it really makes me
good. She's got a future in Boston.
That was impressive.
That's amazing. Okay, let's play a little game of what will they do with our Uncle Seth, starting with James Harden.
No relation. James Harden. James Harden's going to stick around. He's going to take that money. They're going to probably restructure. The biggest thing James Harden's got to do, he's got to get world-class shape. He's healthy now. Now he can get himself in condition. Out of shape, he can't finish at the rim. He can't play through contact. He didn't have that burst to get downhill. I think he sticks around. They got a core unit, added DeAnthony Melton. Melton is absolutely huge because he can defend, he can rebound, he gives him athleticism, obviously to complement their core four. Tyrese Maxey is only going to continue to get better.
The Anthony Melton trade last week in Philly, biggest impact move of the draft.
I like that.
Bradley Beal, the dude is an absolute bucket. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sure if winning's all that important, but that dude's sticking around and he's going to stay in Washington. I do like the piece, obviously, John Davis. The addition in the draft is going to give him a 6-7 kind of DeMar DeRozan, guy that can get to a middle game and make a play. But, you know, Beal's going to stick around. It's a little baffling a little bit because here's a guy that's a championship-caliber guard that could help someone win a championship. I don't see a championship one, obviously, with the Wizards. And then Kyrie, huh? I don't know. I guess he's going to stick around. They're going to figure out a way. Why do they have to figure out a way? Because there's another guy attached to it. So is it going to be a max deal? I don't know if it'll be a max deal, but my gut is they're going to try to find a compromise. Of course, it's a risk and reward situation. Can you risk KD saying, you know what, we came in together, we're going to leave together, I'm going to want out? I think they got to find a way to make it work. A little head scratching, a little bit, as Tim just said, a game of chicken, high stakes, but you can't mess with it.
Stakes don't get any higher than this. Look who's weighing in, Draymond Green, on a potential LeBron-Kyrie reunion in L.A. Look at what he said. With LeBron James, if you give them someone like Kyrie, they're going to have a chance because of the way Kyrie can score the basketball. LeBron will only put him in a position to do that. Kyrie has not proven to be a great leader. Ooh. LeBron will put an umbrella over that. If you can do what you're good at, you have LeBron leading. They could contend, but they won't beat us. Got a little nuggets in there.
Exactly what he wanted to happen. You're talking about him. It's perfect. I mean, Draymond basically just said, I think I want to be on Get Up on Monday. I'm going to come out with this comment.
And you, there you go. You buy it?
Yeah, I don't see the lie there anywhere. I think, you know, if you look at Kyrie's whole track record in the league, right, we talked about in the last segment, he has not proven to be any kind of a leader of a team.
He can lead one guy.
What's that?
He can lead one guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a tremendous talent. He's a tremendous talent who has proven to be an amazing scorer, and as we're seeing in these highlights when he was with the Cavs, the best role he is in, as Draymond said, is when he's the shooting guard next to a lead ball handler. We saw when he was in Brooklyn last year with James Harden, when, as Zach pointed out earlier, he was an All-NBA caliber player, he gave up being point guard immediately to James Harden, right? He said, James, you're going to run the team, and I'm going to go out and score. And that's the role that Kyrie fits in perfectly. So, yeah, if he teams up again with LeBron with the Lakers, obviously that is the kind of role we've seen him have a ton of success in. But as Draymond also said, that Laker team would still have a ton of holes. They'd have to have 10 or 11 minimum contract players on the team. We saw how that went last year. I just don't think they'd be deep enough to be able to win even with those three guys, despite the fact that they obviously would have a ton of top-end talent.
So, Zach, living in this world that there's a possibility that LeBron and Kyrie team up, are they a contender for you?
First of all, you got to love Draymond because, first of all, it's unwise to ever disagree with him about basketball. And number two, he's got to get right there at the end. He's got to get to dig in. They won't beat us. God bless Draymond Green.
Yep.
Yeah, we're really having a conversation about whether a team with Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis could contend for a title. Absolutely, they can contend for a title. That's like a tailor-made modern big three. And I do think, just like what happened with Paul George, is happening with Anthony Davis. We're only remembering the most recent stuff we've seen, and everybody is getting too low on Anthony Davis, just like they did on Paul George. I expect a big bounce back from Anthony Davis. Tim is right that filling out the rest of the roster is going to be tricky. We saw that mostly went bust last year. We haven't even talked about Russell Westbrook, who should probably be mentioned because he might be making more money than anyone on that team, which is kind of a problem. But yeah, I think that team with those three guys, if you can get them healthy, playing 40 minutes a game at the most high-stakes moments in the playoffs, they could absolutely contend for a title. LeBron is still that good, and those other guys are stars.
And to be clear, I do think they'd be a contender. I just think their flaws would be a little too much for them to ultimately.
Not for the Warriors.
Right.
But here's what gets me.
39-13 in the playoffs, Kyrie and LeBron.
Wow. That's pretty good.
39, that's going to put you in contention to maybe win a championship. And, like, I love what Zach said because we don't talk about two guys. We don't talk about Ben Simmons. We don't talk about Anthony Davis because, obviously, they've had injury issues and other issues. Anthony Davis can guard 1 through 4. Anthony Davis can make shots. Anthony Davis can protect the rim. Anthony Davis is a unique, unique talent. If you can take those guys and find the right role players around them, and these are a lot of ifs.
Yeah.
You know, what do they do with Russell Westbrook? Do they eat it? Do they sell? You know, do they try to get rid of him for a bunch of role players? Who knows what happens? But you take those three guys, the Golden State Warriors are terrific. But there was a time during the playoffs we didn't think the Golden State Warriors were going to win.
That's true. That's true.
And in the end, obviously, they got it done. Having a guy like Kyrie, when he's right, complimented by LeBron. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, why? Of course they can win it.
Yeah, all right, it's so a talent on the league, and that's a lot of talent.
Yeah,
that's true. So on the other side of this, if Kyrie does leave, where does that leave KD? Well, that leaves every other team wanting to get him. And then look at this. Damian Lillard channeled that exact thought, took over Instagram this weekend, and he posted that. And everybody went crazy saying, oh, this could happen, this could happen. You know, Tim, it makes me think, how does the scepter of KD affect everything going on with Kyrie and the Nets?
Well, it's like we've talked about a whole bunch on the show, right? That's really the nexus of everything that's going on here, is what does this mean for Kevin Durant, right? That's why this all matters. Kyrie is a great player, but there's players like Kyrie in the league. There's hardly any players ever who've been like Kevin Durant, and that's why this is such a big deal. And as you saw with this Dame Instagram post, right? When there's the potential, and I don't know if we're ever going to get to this point, but when there's the potential for a guy like Kevin Durant to be on the board for teams to go get, every team in the league, as Zach said earlier, all 29 other teams are going to have on their board, what would it take for us to trade for him? Do we have a package that we could get in the game with the Nets? That's what everybody is thinking. Now, every team is not going to have the ability to do it, but as Dame pointed out there in that Instagram post, it's something everybody in the league will be thinking about.
Zach, what are the chances that we've seen KD play his last game for the Nets?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
I'm not going to put a percentage number on it, but it's not zero, and it might be significantly higher than zero, depending on how this Kyrie thing unfolds. And like Tim says, KD, the whole league will at least have a meeting about it. And the key is, if you want Kevin Durant, first of all, Damian Lillard, great job on Instagram. Where are the other 29 teams? Every team's got to have a designated Durant Instagrammer to put next to your best player. Every team's got to be on this. But what you've got to have is a blue chip young player that could be the centerpiece of a trade for the Nets. And it's got to be true blue, navy blue as it gets. It can't be someone who's just pretty good. It's got to be a star young player. And most importantly, because Durant will have some say in this if it ever gets to that point, you got to have enough left in the cupboard for him to go there and feel like I've got enough around me to win a title. That sounds like an easy balance to strike. It's not when you're talking about a player of Durant's caliber, but we're not quite there yet. The Nets are optimistic still, or hopeful at least, that if it comes to this with Kyrie, they can go to Kevin and say, we've still got Ben Simmons. We'll trade Kyrie for some good players. We could have cap space as soon as next summer. Stick with us. That's going to be their selling point anyway.
And by the way, he is signed for 4 years
right, after
signing
right, an
extension last summer, right? There is some power on the Nets side because of that.
Right. And bottom line is, look, they want to keep him in-house. They're communicating with him. And KD has said, I'm staying out of the Kyrie thing in general. This is such an interesting thing. We'll see how this all plays out. Thank you so much, guys. Now, I want to turn to the NFL. Decision on any punishment for Deshaun Watson is getting closer. The Browns quarterback hearing with disciplinary officer Sue Robinson is tomorrow. Robinson is going to rule on a potential suspension for Watson, who's been sued by over two dozen women accusing him of sexual assault and misconduct. So I want to bring Jeff Darlington back in. And Jeff, what are the expectations of this hearing tomorrow?
Well, to be completely honest, Ryan, the expectations are limited because this is really new both for the NFL and for Sue Robinson, the disciplinary officer who will ultimately make the disciplinary ruling as it pertains to Deshaun Watson. The expectation as we know it right now is that the NFL and the NFLPA will both sort of essentially state their cases, their recommendations. And we do expect, based on Adam Schefter's reporting this weekend, that the NFL could suggest a lengthy suspension for Watson. Does that mean that Robinson ultimately will determine that she also feels that it should be a lengthy suspension? That, of course, is the biggest question of all and the one we continue to wait for.
Okay, we'll keep watching this and we'll see how this all plays out. Jeff, thanks. Well, coming up, stunning footage of this. Blooper, the Braves mascot, taking out a fellow mascot. We'll ask our guys if Blooper has a future, maybe in some other sports? We shall see when we come back. Back with you on Get Up and some football. And you know, it's been a little quiet on the Debo trade front recently. You may remember the All-Pro receiver previously requested a trade out of San Francisco, reportedly due to his desire for a new contract, along with some displeasure surrounding his role within the offense. But according to Jeremy Fowler, Debo has not backed down from his trade request. So let's bring in the guys to talk about this. Mike T, Jeff Darlington. And Jeff, you broke this story when it originally came up. Set the scene for us first. How did this all develop and how did we get here?
Well, honestly, Ryan, nothing really has changed since I'd spoken to Debo Samuel and he said that he did want to be traded. And that was actually the result of the way negotiations for a new contract had begun, and not necessarily the numbers involved or the actual monetary figures, but instead just kind of the conversations that were occurring between the 49ers and Debo that had led him to feel like, you know what, I just don't want to be here. And I know that there was optimism expressed certainly by the fan base and partly by the team when Debo did report for mandatory minicamp, but he also was able to avoid some pretty heavy fines by attending that minicamp, which was ultimately the priority there. So for now, things remain the same. There's no new contract on the table, really, and there's no real sense that Debo is any happier today than he was when he requested that trade. So we wait, and we see what happens at the start of training camp.
And you make a great point about the fines. I think all of the 49er faithful were like, he's back. But then, of course, you avoid getting fined by being back. But still, Mike, I wonder if you're in charge – if you're in Lynch's position, GM there, and you want to keep Debo in-house, and that's what everybody wants to do, what's your pitch to him?
It's easy. We're going to make you fulfilled on the field in a great role for a long time. You're going to be paired with Trey Lance, and we're going to do great things together. And then off the field, economically, look, the market's pretty well set when you think about the Tyreek Hills, the Davante Adams. We kind of know where the upper echelon now is of wide receivers. Let's just get that deal done. From a GM perspective, Ryan, when you hit on a player like Debo Samuel, who's been so productive in so many different ways, high character, competitive, they never leave your program. So if I'm John Lynch, I'm talking about your role on the field, and I'm talking about economics, and I'm attacking both of them before the start of training camp.
Okay, so you want all that to happen. Do you see the 49ers actually doing all of that? Because right now you could say, we're going to make you the highest paid wide receiver in the league. Do you see them doing it?
Yeah, Ryan, I don't know why they would. Trey Lance is the future of the 49ers, and I'm hard-pressed to understand how Trey Lance is a better quarterback without Debo Samuel. So this is about surrounding Trey Lance with as many good pieces as possible. You have a great player right in your building. Pay him. We know what the market is. So I don't know why the 49ers wouldn't want to get that done.
Yeah, and then, Jeff, I look at this situation, and I wonder, he wants the trade. If he doesn't agree to whatever their terms are and doesn't want to be there, I wonder how willing the 49ers will be to make that move, to trade him, and what they need to get in return. It sounds like a very uphill battle for them.
No doubt, and that's where this all kind of comes to a head. And it is unlikely from the standpoint that the 49ers don't want to trade him. And really, nothing has changed today since really the first day of the NFL draft. And that was basically kind of the bridge here. If they had managed to make a trade at that point, it would have made sense. They could have gotten the compensation that would have allowed them to then use those draft picks in that draft. Now, if they were to make the trade, they don't ultimately even know how that team they trade with, that trade partner, finishes this season, thus making it unclear what that draft compensation actually would be. So it makes it even more complicated to get that trade done. And really, I don't know how it does. To me, this is going to get stickier before it gets cleaner. If they can get the contract done and make him the highest paid wide receiver, sure, maybe that fixes it. But I just don't see it going down that road right now. I think this is going to get more complicated again.
Oh, very tough situation giving GMs like Mike T their agita as you look at this particular situation. All right, guys, thanks so much. Let's talk hockey, shall we? What a game it was. Game of the night, game six, Stanley Cup final. PK Subban now with us on this one because I'll tell you what, the cup in the building, the team's getting ready. And early in the second period, they got it on. Avs trailing 1-0 with the possession. Bowen Byram, Nathan MacKinnon, the one-timer for the goal.
Yeah, the Avs found a way to get it done last night, and it started with their big players, Nathan MacKinnon, getting them on the board. This was a huge goal, and then it was all Avs after this.
And then I like this one. MacKinnon's pass redirected to Artturi Lehkonen, who gets the score right there. And then at the end of the play, this gets interesting, PK. Look at this.
Yeah, Pat Maroon was a little bit upset. Manson had sort of slowed down Belmar a little bit, which didn't allow him to get back on the back check, and that was proven to be the winning goal. Tough play for Tampa.
And here was the moment. Stanley Cup champions.
They did it! They did it! The job is done! The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions!
You have your champs. You have Cale Makar, your Conn Smythe Trophy winner, playoff MVP. The Avs, third Stanley Cup in their history, their first since 2001. And what a win it was for them. The Avs never trailed in a playoff series this entire year. They became the fifth team since 1985 to win the Cup as a preseason favorite. Colorado is already open as the favorite to win next year's Stanley Cup at Caesars Sportsbook. So, PK, this Avs team, they look great. How did they do it?
Yeah, well, I heard it last night. 5 years ago, they were the last place team in the league. Mm-hmm. And listening to Joe Sakic last night after they won the Stanley Cup say, hey, listen, we were last place in the league, but we had a lot of young players that we expected to develop and be superstars in this moment, and they were. You know, this team was built through the draft. You got to give Joe Sakic, Stan and Josh Kroenke, the organization Colorado Avalanche, a ton of credit for putting this team together. And then they went out and they got some free agents. They surrounded these guys, insulated this young group, this young core group that's been there for a long time with some experience, and that put them over the top. But you could see as the playoffs went on, this team got better and better. You can't go undefeated in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They didn't. But when it was time for them to elevate their game and show that they were prepared for the moment, obviously the first game that they had a chance to eliminate Tampa, the moment got a little bit big for them. But I thought last night they stepped up in a big way. And not only did they win the Stanley Cup, but last night their effort showed to me personally that this team could be a contending team for years to come. And it starts with what Gabe Landeskog had said. You know, how do you put together a team like this to win a Stanley Cup? You find a Cale Makar. He was all world all year, and in this playoffs, Conn Smythe, Norris Trophy, he's definitely up there with the best of the players in the league right now. And what a special time for him. As a defenseman that's played in the league for 13 years, to see a young player like this come into the league, he's 23 years old. Like Conn Smythe Trophy, Norris Trophy, Calder Trophy, like this guy's come into the league and has played like we haven't seen before. No defenseman in my time has played the game the way this guy is, and he does it humble. He does it, you know, in a way that we've never seen before, like I said. And people are talking about Bobby Orr and some of the all-time greats. They should be. They should be. That's how good this guy is, and he's going to be great for a very, very long time. I was talking to Roman Josi about it. We had exchanged some text messages, and I said to him, I said, man, it would have been nice to see you win your second. And he said, yeah, it's tough because we know that this guy's probably going to win the next six of them. You know, he's that good.
Wow.
He's that good. So I want to give props to Cale Makar. He's been the difference for this team and definitely a huge edge on them winning the Stanley Cup this year.
High praise when you got guys like you, guys like Roman Josi saying he could win six of them. Man, the sky's the limit for him.
I got to show you this.
Meanwhile, on planet Earth, there was some bad blood that boiled over in Anaheim on Sunday.
Yep.
You're a hockey player. I don't know if I've ever seen this kind of thing in baseball. Take a look at this, okay? So the Mariners, they got thrown at right there, Mariners Angels.
Yep.
And then Jesse Winker just starts going nuts after getting hit by a pitch. They all get together and just watch as this goes. Have you ever seen anything get this out of hand?
Well, listen, hockey players, we're used to blocking shots at 100 miles an hour. So I'm not, you know, I know we got equipment on, so the baseball players don't have as much gear on, so that's got to sting a little bit. But, you know, a fight doesn't break out every time we block a shot. But I will say this, there'd be nothing that would tick me off more than getting hit with a pitch on purpose. You know, it's different when it's a part of the game. But this got pretty wild last night.
I mean, what are those, peanuts and water?
Are those peanuts? What is that?
Sunflower seeds and water.
I would hate to waste Planters. I love Planters peanuts.
Don't waste the Planters. That's the takeaway.
Oh, no, I love it. I think that this is actually the fun thing that I like to watch in baseball, because sometimes it's so laid back. You know, people talk about the sport and how it can be slow at times, but this will definitely get you out of your seat. It would get me out of mine.
It got us fired up. And you know what else is getting us fired up?
Oh, a lot
Dave
of
Millard.
Drama. A lot
the
of
weekend
drama.
Photoshopping himself and KD playing against the Blazers. Yep. What the heck should we make of all that? Got a lot more coming up on Get Up.